Let's turn in God's Word to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7, we'll be reading the whole chapter through verse 50. Luke chapter 7, and beginning in verse 1, these are the words of the living and true God. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter in under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. It came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, Arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? What went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. And the Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, we have piped unto you and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you and ye have not wept. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man is coming eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of all her children. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake with himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Those are God's words. Through verse 10, verses 1 through 10, Jesus confirms that what he preached in the last chapter, that he is the great healer. He confirms that through those who put their faith in Jesus on the rock, that they will not fall. And so Jesus heals the centurion's servant, in which the centurion believed that Jesus had authority and healed people. And so he came unto him and pleaded with him, even that he was not worthy to come under his own roof. And so Jesus, seeing that great faith, healed the servant, even from a distance off. Through verse 18, another miracle of healing, Jesus raising the widow's son up from the dead. And who can raise people up from the dead? Not just a prophet of God, not just a servant of God, like the apostles who would also go on to heal and cast out demons and such. But who can raise people up from the dead? Only God himself can do that. And then through verse 23, who is Jesus? Jesus is who the prophets spoke of. He's the Messiah. And that's what's confirmed to John the Baptist. And verse 22. Go and tell what you've seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. All those things in the prophets prophesying of the Messiah, the Christ to come. And here, Jesus doing all those things, showing that he's the Messiah. And then John the Baptist too was spoken of by the prophets as the final prophet who prepared the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. All who are blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God, verse 35. Even publicans and sinners, having believed and been called to repentance, these are the children of God given to Jesus Christ. Those who believe and who repent. And for them He sacrificed His flesh, His blood, to redeem them all, to bring them into the family of God. And then the end of the chapter, to the end of the chapter from verse 36 on, the poor woman, filled with godly sorrow over her sin, filled with faith before Jesus, and Jesus assures her that her sins are forgiven her. Verse 50, "Thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace." And so we see here at the end of the chapter what saves people from their sins. What saves us but only that faith that the Lord works in us? And so God's people, what is needed to be saved, we see in this chapter, repentance. She had sorrow over her sins. She didn't want to be part of those sins. She wanted Jesus. She loved Jesus, but she knew who He was. And so she was sorrowful before Him. Repentance. And faith. We see her faith, her believing in Him. So repentance and faith go together. They're always joined together, beloved. And so we are to turn to Christ from our sins and pour out ourselves unto Him, and He will receive us, just as He received this poor woman more than all the Pharisees. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, how truly gracious You are and merciful to us sinners. We do believe, but help our unbelief. Help us to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the one prophesied about so many times throughout the Old Testament. All those promises fulfilled in Christ Your Son. And Father, we're thankful that He came healing, raising those up from the dead, and the gospel being preached, even to the poor. We're thankful that Jesus is the great physician who heals those who are sick, those who are sinners, who see their sin and hate that sin, and they turn to Him in faith. Father, make us to be people like that, people like this poor woman who poured herself out to serve Jesus and turn from her sins and believe on Him. Help us not to be prideful like the Pharisees here, who sit and question those who have faith. Help us to love Your Son as we love You, and as we, of course, love the Spirit, who is the Spirit of Christ, sent by You, the Father and the Son, even into our hearts. We pray in that we would not quench the Spirit, that we would not grieve the Spirit with our sin and our not submitting unto Him and His leanings, His moving us to follow after You. Father, forgive us of the sins where we have quenched and grieved the Holy Spirit. Father, we're thankful today in Your providence that You've brought very minor things like plumbing issues about in this space that we have to worship You on earth. We're thankful for them. Pray that You would not make us to be frustrated with such things, but that we would trust Your providence, that we would keep trusting You, that we would keep serving You. Thankful for the deacons. Thanks for Jake and others who will help fix the plumbing. And Father, we pray that You would be with them especially and keep strengthening in these little trials that will come up just with the building. Of course, there's many trials throughout life. And Father, the circumstances that don't go our way, but they go Your way. And so we praise you for them and we're thankful for them. And ask that you would bring about resolution even this week for all these things that have happened. Pray that there would be no damage to, long damage to carpet or walls with mold or anything like that. That you would bring about exactly what is needed. And you bring it about quickly and safely for all of us here. Father, we do praise you. We're thankful again that Arian's feeling better, and praise you that you've brought her and both babies here, even though Shane's not with her. Praise you for the service of Carla this morning, helping her with Boaz. And Father, we ask that you would continue to bless your people. Help us to be godly servants to those who are in need. As we see the needs, help us to fill those needs and seek to fill them by asking where we might help. Pray that you would continue to help us to be serving in that fellowship of suffering with Michael and Audrey and for Adasa. That we would seek to go unto them, ask how we might help, how we might serve them, for they do need much help. And Father, we do pray that you'll continue to provide for them every need, financially and materially. But also we pray that you would uphold them spiritually, and especially spiritually in their hearts. We're thankful for the greater times they've had in the last week or so of being together and being able to converse with one another, and that you've made that a blessing to them. Father, we ask that you would continue to strengthen those who have been serving them, and grant to them the energy and strength, all of them, that is needed to care for the life of Adasa. Pray that you would heal her spiritually, grant to her salvation in Christ, your Son. And that's what we pray, especially above all other things, that you would give her life in her soul, that you would take those that deadness, as we are dead in our trespasses and sins, and make her alive together with Christ. And we pray that you would apply that "but God" to her in the scriptures in Ephesians 2 there. You would make her alive. However you might do that through your word, going above ordinary providence, however it is, we pray that you would bring salvation to her. Pray that you would heal her to such an extent that she'd be able to understand words and the gospel being preached, and she'd be able to believe herself, believe in her mind and heart the truth of your word. And that is what we pray for all of our children, even those who've gone off, and they have perfectly working minds. But Father, we need your Spirit to be sent. We need you to change their hearts, each one of them. And we need you to give them faith and work faith in them and cause them to hate their sin and love you like that poor woman we just read about. Give us all that love for your Son and hatred of our sin. Father, we pray for the churches. We're thankful for the Shawnee Church and their election of elders. We pray that you give wisdom to Harry Ward and Barry Van Horn about whether they ought to take up that office or not. Grant to them wisdom and discernment in that, that they would not be filled with pride but humility and seeking or not seeking that office. And Father, we pray that you'll provide a minister for the congregation there soon. They would have the consistent ministry of the Word in that place. Even this week, we know that Joe Allen is there and preaching for them, and thankful for his service, praying that you would call him to a church. And Father, what it seems easy for us to see, an ordained man already and looking for a call, and the church looking for a minister. Seemed that easy in the New Testament in Acts when they chose the replacement for Judas. Pray that you would give them that discernment and that clarity there in that congregation. And Father, we do ask that you would watch over and care for them and care for us. Keep us from evil. Keep us from sin. Cause us to love you and cherish you, and pray that there would never be any false teaching from this pulpit. And when there is, because we are fallen, Father, pray that it would be corrected, repented of, humbly, and that all the congregation would hear that and not go in the way of false teaching, but in the way of truth alone. Pray that you would give us hearts that love to search the Scriptures to make sure what we hear is true. And Father, we pray that you would uphold all those who come here and teach here and preach here, and that you would give us all hearts that love your word alone and not the inventions and creations of man. Help us to spew out all those inventions of man, those man-made things, that we would worship you alone according to your commandments, according to your word. And Father, help us. Help us to be a people who are faithful unto you, that we would evangelize and bear forth that testimony of the gospel, the good news, to our neighbors, those around us, our family members, our children, grandchildren, our parents. Pray that you would uphold all of them, all of us, as we seek to serve you. We pray that you would be also with Dave's mother. You'd strengthen her and cause her to have clarity of mind and heart, especially of the things of the gospel and the things of your word, that she would not lose sight of you and your son, Jesus Christ, even in these trials and confusing times that she's going through as she's getting older and older. Pray that you would cause her at the right time to die well. And we pray the same for all of our parents and grandparents, and for ourselves, since we don't know the day that we will die ourselves. Our days are numbered. You know when we will die. We don't. And so we trust you. We trust your plan, that if any one of us would die in the next breath, that we would keep, those who are still living, we would keep trusting you. Keep trusting your providence and your plan, knowing that it is good for us at that time. And so help us in all these things and all the things we don't pray for. Pray for our government and salvation for them, that they would covenant with Christ, and that you would work all things for our good, even through them at the national level and state level. We pray that you would do away with those great sins that we see so prevalent in our culture, the sexual sins, also the sins of murder and abortion and infanticide and all these things. Father, we ask that you would cause us to hate the sin of stealing and lying, which is also so prevalent in our culture, and businesses and the people who run those businesses, and just dealing with people in everyday life. So, Father, we pray that you would hold off your judgment, if it be your will, for the few righteous who remain. And yet may your judgment come at the right time, that you would deliver us from all of our enemies, as we heard in the call to worship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.